Let's begin our service with the reading of Psalm 21. Psalm 21. Wednesday evening, Lord willing, we'll be observing the Lord's table, so I hope you can come and remember our Lord in that way. Last night, we had a meeting with our teenagers, and I was, just had the absolute best time with them. You know, they have every Sunday, they've got the best teacher that money cannot buy. I mean, just the very, very best. But I enjoyed an opportunity to teach them, and we went and got something to eat, and the girls won a hotly, hotly contested competition. So we just had the best time, and I'm thankful for that. All right, Psalm 21. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they were not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Let's stand together as Mike leads us in singing our call to worship.
And truth. let's turn to number 16 toward the front of the book, number 16.
Oh.
Let's turn now to Psalm 24. Brother John, I was asked we read Psalm 24 this morning. As you're turning, let me tell you what John told me after the lesson this morning about fear not what men will do to the flesh. He said, you won't have to fear what happens to this flesh. God's going to replace it anyway. You're going to make it doing that good, and that one's going to be perfect. But soul, that's what he takes to be with him. I wish I thought said that, but I thought you'd enjoy that. All right, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and our Father, Lord, we bow in your courts this morning. We bow in humility, bowing before the God of heaven and earth. And Lord, we bow thankfully with hearts that rejoice at being able, for sinners like us, being able to come into your very presence and be heard. Have our prayer, our petitions, our thanksgiving, our praise heard because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're accepted in the Beloved. Father, how we thank you. How we thank you for righteousness that you freely give that could come no other way than through the obedience of Christ our Savior. How we thank you for the forgiveness of our sin that could come no other way than through the blood of Christ our Savior. Father, I pray this morning that you would enable us to lift up and praise and extol the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us this morning to hear your gospel preached in the power of your Spirit. And Father, enable us to hear and to worship. Enable us to hear and believe the things of Christ our Savior we hear preached this morning. Father, we're so thankful that you brought Brother John our way. And we pray that you bless him. Bless him this morning in preaching. Uphold him, Father, with your Spirit. Don't leave him alone, but speak to his heart. Put the message that you would have us to hear in this hour in his heart. And open his mouth that he might clearly and simply proclaim it. Preach Christ and him crucified. We pray your blessing on him this morning and his blessing on him there in North Carolina. Father, bless. Bless that ministry. Bless the preaching of your word for your name's sake and for the good of your people there. Father, we dare not sin against thee in forgetting to pray for your people. Pray that you would bless and lead and guide and watch over your people. We pray a special blessing, Father, for those that you brought in the time of trouble and trial. They're sick, they're heartbroken, they're in difficult straits. Father, bless, we pray. We pray you give them a fulfillment of your promise that you not leave nor forsake your people, but that your grace is sufficient. Comfort their hearts with your presence, Father, we pray, until you see fit in your wisdom and providence to lead them out. Father, we thank you for our children. Father, how I pray mercy for their souls. How I pray that you protect their bodies, their minds, their hearts from this wicked world in which they grow up. It's a difficult, you know, their difficulty. Father, we pray you'd protect them. Above all, you'd have mercy on their souls. Cause us to be faithful to them and to others who you bring our way to preach Christ to them. Cause us to be faithful servants of your word, we pray. And Father, all these things we ask. We ask for the glory and for the sake of Christ our Savior. It's in his blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Sing a chorus this morning. I haven't done it for a while, but we have done it. And it's easy. All you got to do is repeat after me. I made it as easy as I can. Repeat after me. It's entitled, I Love My Lord, Who Died For Me, and He Shed His Blood on Calvary. And I wrote the words, but the tune is Going to Leave Old Texas Now. It's an old cowboy song. Some of you may have heard it. Probably the young ones haven't. But they need to learn it. All right, let's try. I love my Lord who died for me, and he shed his blood on Calvary. He took away my sin.
To have Pastor John Chapman with us this morning, and of course Vicki come with him, James and Rita. John's the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Spring Lake, North Carolina. James and John's parents celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary this week, that weekend. That's such a blessing for them, I know. I thought this one is just like old times. I'm going to teach the class, and John's going to preach, and I've been looking forward to it, and I know you all have too. So, John, you come preach the message that God's given you for us.
Good to see you again. Coming back this way was the first time I had to put a winter jacket on. First time I broke it out all year. I enjoyed that song. I listened to Mike play it. I felt like I'd ride no paint off into the sunset, never to come back. I have an overactive imagination. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. Turn to Psalm 24. Vicki and I were talking yesterday. We were driving around. How good it was to be in territory that is familiar. You don't even have to think. It's like your car is on autopilot. You don't have to think, which do I turn left or turn right? It just, there's just something about this thing of just things being familiar. We lived here about 40 years, and you know, it's things are very familiar. And that feels good when we come back here, just the familiarity of it feels good. Now this morning, I want to bring the message on the crown rights of Jesus Christ. As I've gotten older, one of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ that stays on my mind probably as much, if not more than anything, that He's my King. I have a King. And that makes me, that just thrills my soul. You know, when you look at the political landscape that we have going on today, it's disturbing if you keep looking at it. So, you know, it's like, stop looking at it. It gives great comfort to me to know this is part of the eternal purpose of my King. There is no nation, there is no leader, there is no rich person or poor person that is not under the direct authority of Jesus Christ. That gives me great comfort. As I see my grandchildren now growing up and all these young children growing up, they're His. They're His. And His power is over all. He said, Father, Thou hast given me power over all flesh. There's no one that is not under the direct rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Yes, we live in a democracy. Now, really, do we? We live under the theocracy of Jesus Christ. We live, and that thrills my soul because our King is holy. Our King is righteous. Our King is love. God is love. And God is our King. He's our King. In Psalm 22, we find the Lord Jesus Christ to be our substitute. He's the one who took our place. When I say our, I mean all those whom God's chosen throughout this whole period of time. He's our substitute. Psalm 23, He's our shepherd. He guides us. He feeds us. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. I'm glad He has the power to make me lie down. Because I wouldn't lie down if He wouldn't. If it were not for Him, we would not take His word, the green pastures, and lie down in them. Rest in them. If He were not our shepherd. If He did not have the power to enable us to lie down. But here in this psalm, Jesus Christ is presented as our King. I love to say King Jesus. King Jesus. He is our King. Now, right from the outset, the focus is set on the Lord. You notice that capital L-O-R-D. Jehovah, our Savior. And we know who that is. Jesus Christ. And the end of this psalm, the focus is still on the Lord. It's still on Him. Now David says the earth is the Lord's. Let's clear this up. You know, if you go through the Old Testament and when you read the prophets, the first time and the first way they identify God is always, almost always, as the Creator. Because I tell you this, who the one that created all of this is God. The one who owns all of this is God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. Verse 1 leaves no doubt as to who owns all this. Now, some of you have bought homes, houses, and land, and you've worked hard, and you paid it off, and you got the deed, and you say, it's ours. No, it isn't. I'm telling you the truth. It's not yours. Not in the sense that you actually own it, and it's yours. If it really was, you'd take it with you. But you're not. You'll leave it. If I would leave it to your children, then when you're gone, they'll probably sell it to somebody else, and they'll own it. And if someone owns the place that I lived in over on Augusta Street for 30 years, I said, this is my home. I own this. No, you don't. God owns it. We need to understand this. God owns everything. You and I are here for a short period of time. Even the youngest ones here. Life is short. 3, 4 years and 10, on average of 70 years. Now that I'm 64 years old, that's short. I'm looking back now. I used to look forward. I used to look forward and say, this is what I want to do. This is what I... No, now I'm looking back on everything. I used to live there. I used to be here. I used to be there. And then there'll come a time when there'll be a tombstone and my name will be on it. And I won't take anything with me. Anything. And I tell you this, when I left here, when I moved to North Carolina, we sold our home. We don't own anything but 2 old cars now. And I've never been more content, more satisfied. When something goes wrong, those guys down there in North Carolina, they come over and fix it. They take care of it. And I've learned this. I've learned this because, you know, we feel like we don't own our home when we get old. Something, how are we going to do it? How are we going to make it? The same way you're making it now, by the grace of God. It is by God's grace, God's power. I'm learning. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It's something you learn. I'm learning that my Father will take care of me now and He'll take care of me tomorrow. And if I live to be my parents' age, 89, 90 years of age, He'll take care of me then. It's the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. The crown rights over all belong to Jesus Christ. They belong to Him. He has the right. Listen, since it all belongs to Him, He has the right over all of it. If He wants to burn my house down, He can burn it down and not get charged with larceny. It's His. If He wants to take from me, He can take it. It's His. If He wants to give to me, He can give. It's His prerogative. It's His. Spurgeon said it's His royal prerogative to do as He will. The crown rights of everything belong to Jesus Christ. He can rule all things without asking my opinion on any of it. He did not say to Job, Job, I'm going to take your 10 children. Is that all right? I'll tell you this. When he spoke to Job over there, chapter 34, 32 or somewhere? When he said, Job, stand up like a man, he didn't apologize to Job. He didn't apologize to him for taking. He said, I had something here. I had a point I had to prove. No, he said, Job, stand up like a man. I'll ask some questions and you give me the answers if you know them. He revealed His greatness. You and I cannot think on the level God is. We cannot think on that level. So whatever the Lord is doing, it's right. It's right because He's doing it. He can do no wrong. Our Lord owns the title deed to everything. It says here, everything on this earth is His, because He says the fullness of it. Never take granted that this earth keeps producing. He made it full. He keeps it full. The ocean keeps producing fish. You know, you'd think you'd fish it out. You'd think that we would just destroy the land. The Lord keeps it producing, and it will keep producing until time shall be no more. Because it's His. It's His. Look over in Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, look in verse 8. He says, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine. He talks about that little bird. If you and I only knew how much care God has for that little bird. He made it. He created it. He said, the beasts of the field are mine, and the cattle. You know, the cattle, you say, you know, you had this cattle baron. They say, all those cattle, they're mine. No, they're not. He says, all the cattle. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are mine. They're mine. I know all the fowls of the mountain. And that's more than just knowing that there are birds out there. He knows every one of them. He knows exactly where they are at any given time. Every last one of them. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. To put it in today's language, I wouldn't Facebook you. If I were hungry, I wouldn't let you know about it because you couldn't do anything about it. For the world is mine and the fullness, it's all His. Now, here's a reason to take care of it. Here's a reason to take care of the place that God has given you to live out your life. It's His. It's His. Keep it clean. Take care of it. There's a good reason not to litter. It's His. All fullness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. All fullness in creation. All fullness in grace. All fullness in salvation comes from Jesus Christ. John 1:16, and of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. He never does anything halfway. He never does anything and then leaves something up left for me and you to do. When God put Adam in the garden, what did Adam bring to the garden? Nothing. God put him, here's the garden. God put him in it. God completed it, made everything perfect, and then put Adam in the garden. Adam didn't bring anything to it or add anything to it. And they that dwell therein, all are His. There's no loose cannon out here. There is no loose cannon out here running around. Nobody has their finger on the button. That's out of control. God said, everyone's mine. Whether you like it or not, you're His. Jesus Christ has never been in my hands to do something with. We have all been in His hands to do something with. All things were created by Him and for Him. And they that dwell therein, they all belong to Him. And this being so, all people are to worship Him. The Jews thought they believed they had a corner on God. They thought that us Gentiles out here left into our paganism and our false worship, that God would never have anything to do with us. God created all. All men, all women are His. The whole human race. Listen, let me tell you something. There are nationalities. There are different nationalities. There are different tongues, languages. But there's only one race, the human race. And the whole human race is fallen. The whole human race is under condemnation. And by God's grace, He's chosen to save some. If God saved you, He chose to do it. He chose not to leave you alone. God chose you to be a son of God. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over it. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. In Genesis 1:9, Christ. He said, no, it says God. Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the living God. Christ called forth the dry land, and He called the dry land earth, and the waters He called sea, and by His power, I've never thought of this before until I was studying this. 2/3 of this world is water. You know, whenever the flood came in Noah's day, it says the depths broke up. It gushed up water out of the earth. And here's the point I want to make. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Is there anything more unstable than water? And yet our Lord demonstrates His power by keeping this whole world, earth, stable. It's as stable as can be. It never moves off 1 degree this way. If it did, we'd drown. 2/3 of it's water. You realize that this is where if I was an engineer, this would really intrigue me. It says He has made a way for the water course. How do you pour water on a ball and keep them all running off the bottom? And yet He does that. By God's wisdom, He does that. The creeks out there, they'll run all year long. That's the wisdom of God. That's just in creation. He's given us a glimpse of His wisdom and power and knowledge in creation. That's just a glimpse. The greater side of it is in Jesus Christ. God saving a sinner, making him whole and enabling him to ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in His place. Or stand before God. He's the one who sets the boundary of the sea. He's the one who says, hither shalt thou come, hither shall thy proud ways come, and no further. That ocean does not overflow the land because of the Word of God. That's why. Now, you think He can protect our home? You think He can take care of us? If He can take the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic, and all the oceans on this earth and make them stay at a point that they can't pass over. That's power. Brother, that's power. And He didn't build a wall to do it. He just said, by His word. By His word. And the earth will continue until time shall be no more. Now, verse 3. Seeing that God is great. This God is so great and powerful and He's holy. Who shall ascend? This is the question of questions. Who can ascend before such a God, such a person, and stand? Immediately we are told that God is above all creation because He says, who shall ascend? And this word ascend has to do with worship. Who can worship such a God? Who can ascend? Who can think on that level? Who can even have any kind of comprehension of such a person? My soul, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend to His throne? And who shall stand in His holy place? who will worship. This word stand has to do with stand his ground. Who can go before God and stand his ground? The question is this, seeing that he is so great and glorious and holy, who shall enter into his presence and abide? I was thinking as I was just sitting over there before coming up here, I thought, never lose the godness of God. Never lose that. Never lose the greatness of God, the glory of God. Today's religion has God down here beneath us. Not on our level. They got him below our level. Because he can't do anything unless we let him. The people who built the Tower of Babel thought they could ascend the hill of the Lord, but they found out differently, didn't they? Many who think they can stand in his presence by their works, they find out differently. Depart from me, I never knew you. We preached in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many mighty works in your name. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Man considers, he considers heaven, but not the one who reigns there. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. We live on God's footstool. It's a holy place where God reigns. Here's the question. How can I, a sinful man, stand before God who is holy? How can we this morning worship God? How can we do that? That's what we're here for. If not, what are we here for? We are here to worship God. We're here to give unto Him the glory due to His name and to praise Him and to sing His praises and to preach and to read His Word. We're here to worship God. How can a bunch of sinful, wretched people like you and me do that? That's what David is asking here. He's, you know, David gets a glimpse of himself. What is man? It's like he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you had visited him. How can a sinful man stand before God and hold his ground? God who's holy. You know, we all must die and stand somewhere. You know, we're not going to just not exist no more. Everybody's going to live forever. It's just with whom and where. Now, there's something else here I want to point out here. He says here, in the answer that he gives is this. Here's the answer. You want to know? You interested? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the one who may ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. One of the things that stood out here, and I'd never seen it before until I was looking at this, the description of the worshiper is also a description of the God whom they worship. Turn over to Psalm 115. Look in verse 4. Their idols, he's talking here about the idols of the heathens and those who do not worship God. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are what? Like them. Now, how am I going to worship God who's holy? Who's holy. And he says here, those who have clean hands, a pure heart, have not lifted up their soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. A description of the worshiper is really also a description of the God they're worshiping. You and I know we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We know that. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. There is one man. There is one man. Billions and billions have lived on this earth, but there's only one man whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, the man Christ Jesus. A representative man. He's a representative man. He represents a multitude of sinners that were given to him by the Father before the world was. He is the God-man mediator. It is said of him, he knew no sin. And you want to know the good news? As he is, so are we in this world. To really understand this answer more fully as it relates to us, how does it relate to us? We must understand something of the new birth. You have to understand something of the new birth. When a sinner is born of God, that sinner has clean hands and a pure heart. That new man, listen now, that new man in Jesus Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness and does not sin and cannot sin. It has clean hands, a pure heart. Has not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Listen to 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Jesus Christ is that man. And we are that man in Christ. We are that man in Christ. Now he says here, this man shall receive the blessing of the Lord in righteousness from the God of his salvation. Jesus Christ is this blessed man who shall receive the blessing of the Lord. And these blessings here, it says blessing, but he's going to receive all the blessings of the covenant of grace that were promised to him before the world began. And you are part of that blessing. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In Isaiah 53. He shall see the travail of his soul. Our Lord has no stillborn children. Every one of them will be in glory with him. Alive and well. And then this new man in Christ, he too shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Whatever belongs to Christ belongs to me. All things are yours in Christ. All. In Christ, as the scripture says, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is eternal life. These are our blessings. We have everything we need to stand before God. We have all in Christ that we need to ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his presence. And this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. It says in Psalm 22:30, a seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. You know all the children of God are before him right now? All of them. Every one of his children are before him right now. Now when you and I, when we have children, we have to wait, don't we? And before modern technology, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. He said to wait. All of God's children are before him. They are just one generation. They're all born of God. They're all his. And they're all his now. And he knows every one of them by name. Every one of them. They are the ones. Listen, how do you know them? They are the ones that seek his face, his favor. They are the ones who seek the Lord. Isn't that what you're doing this morning? Some of you have come here this morning seeking the Lord. Lord, speak to my heart. Let me see you in your word. Bless your servant this morning that I may... that I may be able to worship. That I might be able to see you. Now, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Here's a person revealed. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. When Adam fell, the way was shut. He was driven out. Everything looked hopeless. Until God gave the promise of the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is none other than the Lord, Jehovah, the King of glory. The second Adam, the Lord from heaven. He's the King of glory. Jesus Christ is the King of glory. He came into this world, robed himself in flesh, redeemed us from our sins, rose from the grave, went back to heaven, and the shout went out, open the gates. Open the gates, for the King of glory is coming in. The King of glory, the God-man mediator, is coming in. Man has never produced such a king. They said, we know you are the carpenter's son. No, the carpenter's son could not produce such a king. But God did. God produced one. God produced a king with clean hands and a pure heart. God produced himself. He's the king. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. This is the one I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with this king, this monarch, and I'm concerned with his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. It troubles me. It troubles me. But I find myself getting more upset with what's going on in the kingdom of men than I do the kingdom of God. When I get more upset over what a politician says than what a liar says standing here pretending like he's called of God to preach. When what men do upsets me more than what those who claim to be of God do, they're lying on God. No, I want to be concerned with the kingdom of God and my king. Lord, what would you have me to do? Move to North Carolina. But I've been living here for 40 years. I'm getting old. You don't call old people. You know, I went down there, I was 60 years old. Joe Terrell said, well, so what? You got 20 years on Moses. That's all he told me. I love friends like that. It just kind of puts you, you know, it puts things in perspective. Moses was what, 80? It was 80. I got 20 years just to get to where he was at. When God called him out of the backside of a desert and used him. If God's going to call a man and use a man, he may call him and use him for a day. He may do that. He may give him one message to preach one time, and that's it. And that could there be anything greater than that? To be used of God one time. I would love to be able to preach one time with great power and clarity. And to be able to preach Jesus Christ as he ought to be preached. My preaching falls so far short of what he deserves. Such a king deserves great preaching. He deserves great honor from his servant, from his people who are listening, from you who worship. Think of the honor of our King and what he deserves. He owns all this. And he owns us. I'm sure glad I don't own myself. I'm glad I don't own myself. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. Jehovah Jesus, that's who he is. There's a man seated at God's right hand who is the King of glory, and he's our King. And I guess there's no way to describe him, because you could say, you can describe a King of England. Now, he's the King of England. But now once he steps a foot outside of England, his power means nothing. His dominion is in England. Jesus Christ's dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it's over all. Not just this ball called Earth. Not just all the galaxies and the billions of stars that are out there. It's over glory. He's a king of God's glory over all of them. God is glorified in His Son. He's a king of glory and He's our king. He's our king. You know, if you go back, and I'm just using England because, you know, we know more about them than anybody as far as kings. They had some bad kings. I mean, they had some kings that were ruthless. You go back to the Roman Empire and read of some of those emperors, Caesars. Ooh, man, they were bad. But our king is holy. And our king has power over all them kings, all those kings, because he's king of kings and Lord of lords. And he's our king. And last of all, it says He's King of glory, and it means this: He has no small kingdom. I do believe that when it's finally over, heaven will be far more populated than hell. I do. There was, hell is spoken of as a place. Heaven is spoken of as a country. It's spoken of as a great city. All those infants and children, people who have mental handicaps, they are there. And before modern medicine, there was some places they didn't even name their children until they got to be a certain age because they didn't live. They didn't give them a name. Millions upon millions, well, billions upon billions have died in youth, in infancy. Then there are those whom the Lord brings to faith. All will be there. Don't think of God's kingdom as a small kingdom. It's not. King of glory is a king without boundaries. There's no nationalities in heaven. No nationalities. If you really have trouble with another, what we call race, you don't want to go there. Because he's going to say people have every tongue, kindred, tribe, and nation under heaven. If you have a prejudice problem, you don't want to go there. You're going to be mad. You're going to be mad. He is Lord over all the universe, the sun, the moon. That sun comes up, goes across the sky every day. That's His, and it's doing His bidding. He's Lord over it. He's Lord over all the stars. He's Lord over all people. He's Lord over all angels, good and bad. He's Lord over all people, good and bad. The saved and the lost. He has a great host following Him through the gates to glory. He's no weak Savior. He's a mighty conqueror. And I'm sure glad He is, because He conquered this one. Let us worship Him and get our minds set on things above, where our King sits at God's right hand.
Sure, I'm glad I was here this morning, aren't you? I thought as John was preaching, I felt my heart worship of all the gods, little g, idols being preached today. That's the only one. You heard the only God preached today who's worthy of being worshipped. He's worthy that we bow before Him. Of all the Saviors being preached across this world today, you heard the Savior preached, the only one who could save sinners. God sent that message to us this morning. You think of that. God give us the faith to believe it. Let's bow together. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to one more time hear your gospel preached, to hear of Christ our Savior. Father, we thank you that you're God, that you're God alone, that none can stay your hand or say unto you, what doest thou? That you always do your will. And how thankful we are your will for your people is their redemption, their righteousness, their glorification. Father, we're thankful that you're God. We bow before you. We bow begging your mercy and your grace. We bow begging you that you would give us faith to believe the Christ that we heard preached today. Let us leave here this morning believing in, resting upon Christ our Savior. Father, we thank you for bringing John our way. We pray that you'd give him and Vicki traveling mercies as they travel back to North Carolina. And Father, let your richest blessing go with them, we pray. Thank you for the love and the fellowship and friendship we've had all these many years. We're thankful. Father, bless us. Bless us, and we ask you to forgive us of our many sins and failures, and see us and hear us only in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, now let's stand together as Mike leads us and sing hymn number 141. 141.